This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma allimna ma yinfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma wa arina alhaqqa haqqan wa razuqna attiba'ah. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وزغنا اجتنابه وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا everybody, welcome to our third day of the fiqh of fasting, and inshallah today will be our last day of fiqh of fasting. Inshallah we're going to try to finish the whole chapter. We can do it inshallah, we have till 8 o'clock, so bear with me today. Inshallah it's going to be a bit of a longer session. If we need a 5 minute break, we'll take a 5 minute break inshallah. If somebody feels really sleepy, okay, just stand up and inshallah we'll all take a 5 minute break and then we'll continue inshallah. Al-amru alaykum. I'm going to leave it up to one of you guys. Let's pick a volunteer. Who wants to be a volunteer for that? If you feel really, really sleepy or tired, you're going to get up and everybody's going to get up and stretch. Salim? Khalas Salim. Jazakallah khair. Perfect. Taib. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jameel. So we've covered the main ruling, and last time we started in the invalidators of fasting. So inshallah we're going to cover those just quickly one more time. Mufsidat al-Siyam. We're going to talk about the penalty of intercourse, jima', okay, in Ramadan while fasting. Okay, disliked actions while fasting, prohibited actions while fasting, sunnah actions while fasting, fulfilling vows of the deceased, someone who had a vow, an oath, okay, another yani. Recommended fasting, when is it recommended to fast, disliked fasting, prohibited fasting, and inshallah we're going to talk about al-i'tikaf, which usually happens in the end of Ramadan, and it can happen throughout the whole year. طيب, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So the invalidators of fasting, when we say mufsidat as-sawm, يعني those things that break your fasting, those things that break your fasting. طيب, بسم الله, let's start. So we said, he says, وَمَنْ أَدْخَلَ إِلَى جَوْفِهِ أو مجوف في جسده كدماغ وحلق شيئا من أي موضع كان غير إحليله أو ابتلع نخامة بعد وصولها إلى فمه أو استقاء فقاء أو استمنى أو باشر دون الفرج فأمنى أو أمذى أو كرر النظر فأمنى أو نوى الإفطار أو حجم أو احتجم عامدا مختارا ذاكرا لصومه. Okay, these are all the conditions, aftar. Okay, that's a long sentence. Let's break it down, inshallah. Let's break it down. Jameel. So he says here, we said one of the first things is al-idkhal fil-jawf, right? And we said jawf, the general meaning of jawf is linguistically something that is hollow. And they mean here the ma'ida, right? Here, the ma'ida, like where your stomach goes to. Okay, stomach intestine. Okay, that's the ma'ida. And then they said, so if you enter something in the jawf, number one, أو something مجوف, something that is also hollow, okay, and so they include your دماغ, your kind of your brain, if you give something nutritious to your brain, etc. But they don't include the bowel because in the end he says غير إحليله, except through, right, through the إحليل, which is the top of the organ of the male. Okay, so if you put something through there, it's gonna go back to the what, to the bladder, and that doesn't count. That doesn't count. That's not something that's gonna give nutrition to your body. So yeah, كدماغٍ أو حلقٍ, right, your throat. Okay, شيئاً. So anything in the brain, the throat, kind of the stomach, intestine. Okay, أو ابتلع نخامةً بعد وصولها إلى فمه. And we said, if someone like spits, takes something out of his body, then swallows it again. So it takes something out of their body, then swallows it again, that also breaks their fast. Okay, but if he swallows something from inside their body, then that's fine. Tamam. Okay. أو استقاء, يعني طلب القيء. القيء is what? Vomiting, right? استقاء طلب القيء, يعني to do it on purpose. Someone like pokes in their throat or something like that, so they can, I don't know, they want to vomit, lose weight. Okay, that's not allowed. But if that's telling you what? If someone did it accidentally, does he break it fast? Their fast? No. If it's something normal, if it doesn't break it fast. أو استمنى. Okay. يعني طلب خروج المني. Okay. طلب خروج المني. يعني someone who intentionally masturbates or takes out the male fluid, the sperm, okay, أو استمنى أو باشرة, أو he does foreplay with his يعني with his partner أو باشرة دون الفرج, يعني without even the male organ, فأمنى, okay, and فأمنى يعني خرج المني, the money comes out, أو أمذى or the mathy comes out. If you guys remember, المني is the solid white like the sperm, right? And what comes up before, usually after foreplay, that's al-madhi. So even al-amdha, even if madhi comes out, okay, we're going to explain that in detail, inshallah. Aw karrara an-nadhar fa-amdha, fa-amna. Aw karrara an-nadhar. An-nadhar is what? Looking. We're going to talk about why he says karrara. This means what? That if it was one nadhar, and then mani comes out, okay, then it doesn't. But karrara, why? Anybody can guess why? Because we have the hadith that the first one is, it's not their fault, right? The first one could be an accidental thing. It happens. But if he looks accidentally, then he looks again, keeps looking, and then many comes out, then it's his fault. He's responsible. Does it make sense? That he's responsible for that. Okay? أو نظر فأمنا أو نوى الإفطار. Someone says, I have the intention to break my fast right now. يعني, there's food right there. Okay? Stay with me here. There's food right there. And he's like, I'm about to eat it, and then, I don't know, someone takes it away. Now al-iftar. Did he break his fast? Yes, because now al-iftar. He made an intention to break his fast. يعني, in his niyyah, he broke his fast. Is that wadih? Just like in salah, you guys remember in salah, we said, if someone is praying, okay, if someone is praying Isha, and then in the while he's praying Isha, he's saying, khalas, I'm leaving Isha. غير النiyyah. Oh, he says, now I'm praying another salah. Does his salah count now? No, because now he changed his niyyah. غير النiyyah. يعني خرج من الصلاة. Even though he might still be standing there. But his niyyah is like, I'm leaving salah right now. Okay, so then the niyyah is crucial here. Okay? أو حجم أو احتجم. الحجامة, إيش الحجامة؟ آه شباب. سليم, what's حجامة? We gave you lollipops, man. You gotta answer. What's حجامة? آه حسن. الحجامة. Huh? What's hijama, guys? Shabab, save them. What's the hijama? Cupping. You guys know what cupping is? Huh? Yeah. You basically take blood out of your body. Huh? So, yeah, for those who don't know, hijama is basically, this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is to purify your body from bad blood, right? And it's good for, saving oneself from disease and giving them energy and strength. And so basically what they do is they do small cuts, okay, in different parts of the body. Okay, professionals obviously, don't try this at home, okay? Small cuts, and then they put heated cups. Now there's pressured ones, okay? Usually the old days they would heat them up and the bad blood would come and it would be like gel, okay? Which means that's bad blood, that really like jelly. Anybody done it here before? Yeah, usually like subhanAllah, one of the first things I did when I went to Medina is I did it here on like my head. Because I was memorizing the Quran, I was like, I need something for the hifz. They told me if you do it here, yeah, so I did it here, like, and I had these like weird things, I had to shave my head. But yeah, it's good for you, it's from the sunnah. But whoever does hijama or hajama or ihtajam, because there's hadith, aftara al-hajam wal-mahjum, I think, kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the hadith, the hajam wal-mahjum. The one who's doing hijama and the one who's receiving it, both of them break their fast. So, أو حجم أو احتجم عامداً. So this is the important part. We stopped here last week. عامداً مختاراً ذاكراً لصومه. These are the three conditions for all those. I'm going to put them here in front of us. But those are the conditions for those three, for those eight. So three conditions for those eight. He has to have done it عامداً. عامداً meaning what? Intentionally, يعني. He meant it, okay. عامداً مختاراً. مختاراً يعني out of his own choice. Nobody is forcing him. There's not a gun on his head. Iftar. Okay? Or whatever. Okay? ذاكراً لصومه. And he recalls he's fasting. And we get this from the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, when the person ate something, right? Did the Prophet ﷺ told him, now you have to repeat your fast? No, he said, خلاص, now, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fed you. Okay? So, because he had forgotten. Does it happen? Yeah, it happens. Yeah, someone يعني just accidentally like eat something, drink something. But obviously when you remember, what do? You keep eating? لا خلاص, you put it down. Like, I have to finish the burger. No, no. You stop. طيب, let's go through them. Bismillah. So number one, we said, putting anything inside of your body through a hollow opening. So this includes non-food related items as well, like a thread, edge of a knife, etc. Whether he did it by himself or was done to him by another without force. Okay? Whether via normal or abnormal tract. So we, يعني, it could be from the throat, from the back. Right? Like, there's some people who do, and they try to treat themselves by putting things from the back. Yeah, أكرمكم الله. You know, coffee enemas and stuff like that. That would be, that would break your fast. Okay, if you put something from the back, that would break your fast. Ear, eye, you know, anything that's going into the dimagh, okay, into these ajwaf, okay, something mujawaf, except the bowel. We said the bowel, it doesn't lead to nutrition of the body, okay. So that when people ask about, so now you take the qa'ida here, you can apply needles and all those things, okay. Tamam? Okay, so example, yeah, the anus, the ear, the eye, hole in your head. So example, he says, you put kuhl in your eye. Everybody knows kuhl, right? Nobody uses it here, but anybody use kuhl? Yani, it's one of the sunnah of the Prophet. There are some benefits to the eyes for it. But basically, it's like this dark stuff you put on your, this chemical, or this, I guess it's plant-based, it's natural. Okay, you put it in your eye. If you put too much of it, a person might even taste it. So they say if you taste it in your throat, anything you put and you taste it in your throat, then that means you broke your fast. فمثلاً, we're going to talk about, for example, tasting food. Are you allowed to taste food? Okay. You are allowed to taste food, but if you swallow it and you can taste it, in, yeah, if you can feel it in your throat, then خلاص, now it has entered. Does that make sense? But if you, مثلاً, you taste the salt, then spit it out, wash your mouth, are you okay? You're okay. Cool? yeah, if anything enters in, yeah, from the male organ, the penis, from the outside, because this does not lead to the stomach but to the bladder. We mentioned غير إحليله, غير إحليله. So that's number one, okay, from something مجوف. Then he says, if phlegm reaches your mouth and you swallow it back down, and it reaches your mouth, it comes out of your mouth, and then you swallow it back down, that breaks your fast as well, because now it has exited your body. But as long as it's part of your body, you're allowed to swallow it, okay? Because the mouth is considered an external part of your body, right? طيب. Jameel. Number three, he says, forcing yourself to vomit. أو استقاء فقاء. طب استقاء ولم يقي, okay, يقي, that's fine. If he tries to cause himself to vomit and he doesn't vomit, then he's fine. But if he forces himself to vomit and he vomits, then that breaks your fast. So far we have three, right? We have three. Putting anything into hollow spaces, your stomach, your ears, your head. Number two, something comes out of like phlegm, okay, out of your mouth, and then you swallow it again. Number three, we said forcing yourself to vomit. Number four, forcing yourself to ejaculate, right? Masturbation resulting in ejaculation while sleeping. So now this does not include ihtalam, someone who has a wet dream, because that's not something that he did. That's why he said istimna, okay? Because istimna is you're actually doing the action. But if it happens in a wet dream, then the person does not lose his fast. Then he says number five, أو باشرة. باشرة, Allah subhanahu says in the ayat of fasting, okay, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ yeah, وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ يعني باشروهن يعني don't do everything that happens before جماع, before intercourse, that's called المباشرة, right? Includes kissing and all those other things, right, that happens between spouses. Right, so foreplay, which in English you would say foreplay, resulting in ejaculation or madi. So al-madi is the pre-ejaculatory fluid, which is the lighter fluid. So if somebody does that, okay, intentionally, and one of these two come out, right? And some of, yani, this is debatable. The second one, the madi is debatable, okay? But they do qiyas madi on many, and they say because this is done with shahwa, right? And remember, what's fasting? We have to go back to the asal of fasting. Fasting is what? Leaving your shahwa. Yeah? And so this is a shahwa. Shahwa, ta'am, right? Shahwa meaning desire, right? A natural desire. So you're supposed to leave that, right? And Allah mentions in the ayat of fasting, yeah? أُحُلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةِ الصَّيْمِ أُحُلَّ لَكُمْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةِ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ نعم. That ayah, the top of the right page, it says, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ طبعاً we'll talk about that specific to the i'tikaf, okay? But here is the nahi of al نعم المباشرة. طيب number six, okay? Now ejaculation through constant looking, okay? Constant looking, and we said constant looking, someone is intentionally keeping looking. The first look is fine, okay? So if ejaculation occurs after one look, then it will not break. يعني one look, يعني this is rare. I'm not sure if it. I guess it's possible, okay? Maybe in the younger crowds or somebody who has a specific condition. But if they look and then the fluid comes, the many comes out, then he doesn't break his fast. Just like someone who had a wet dream. He wakes up and it's wet, then he's still fasting, inshallah. He just has to shower and keep fasting. Okay? But if he keeps looking intentionally and then it comes out, then that would break his fast. Number seven, intending to break the fast, right? أو نوى الإفطار. Okay, that would break his fast. Number eight, doing cupping on someone else or getting it done yourself with following conditions. You did it intentionally. Okay, you were not forced. You were aware that you are in a state of fasting. طبعاً, this is the three conditions, but these actually count for all of them. Okay, so these three conditions count for all the eight that we mentioned. عامداً مختاراً ذاكراً لصومه. So what does that mean? So if none of this was done intentionally, okay, or maybe he didn't do it out of choice. مش مختار. He was forced, you know, he was forced to look at something, right? Or he was forced to eat something, tamam? Then this would not be out of choice. You've guys seen those funny commercials, they usually, or not commercials, those videos at the beginning of Ramadan, where the person walks and he slips, and then the shawarma falls in his mouth, and then, you know, a drink falls in his mouth, and I don't know if you guys seen those, the shabab are laughing, so... Yeah, so if that happens, then he's not مختار. That this is an accident, but that's impossible, obviously. طيب, جميل جدا. Cool, so those are the eight, okay? طيب, the following things will not break your fast. So now he says, okay, لا إن فكر فأنزل. Not if he's thinking about it, and then many or مذي comes out, okay? So if someone, we talked about نظر, looking. نظر is looking, right? But التفكير, so imagine now someone is thinking, you know, about, you know, something, the opposite gender, okay? And then it gets them excited, and then they ejaculate, many comes out, okay? Or many comes out. Then this is treated like a wet dream. They do qiyas on a wet dream, tamam? So it's not from looking, it's just from التفكير, okay? It's something from internal, inside their head. And some people, يعني, have that condition. Number two, while rinsing your mouth. So when you do wudu, right? While you're rinsing your mouth, right? أو أدخل ماء ماء مضمضة أو استنشاق okay حلقه ولو بالغ أو زاد على ثلاث okay. So, طبعا, you know, the person has to be careful when doing مضمضة, washing his mouth, and استنشاق, right? Going, putting the water inside your nostrils and pushing it back out. You have to make sure. You know, you be careful, but if it accidentally goes in, then you're not blamed for that. So while rinsing your mouth or nose for wudu, something unintentionally enters into your throat. Even if you use lots of water or increase the number of washing to four, this is because this is seen as being forced to do so as a requirement for wudu and not by choice. So this is something for wudu, right? But you have to be careful. Like some people, especially in the hot days or in the hot places, some people will wash their mouth to keep it moist. You just have to be careful that you don't drink it. Okay, because this is not something you have to do like madmada. Madmada you have to do, right? For wudu, you need to make madmada. Okay, but something like making your mouth moist, okay, then you just have to be careful about that. طيب, جميل. Now we go to the next section, okay, for jima', right? For the penalty for intercourse. And this is one of the kind of the most, serious, mufsidat of invalidators of fasting, and it has a penalty with it. So, he says here, وَمَنْ جَامَعَ بِرَمَضَانَ okay, نَهَارًا بِلَا عُذْرٍ عَفْوًا بِلَا عُذْرِ شَبَقٍ وَنَحْوِهِ فَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءُ وَالْكَفَّارَ مُطْلَقًا okay, وَلَا كَفَّارَةَ عَلَيْهَا مَعَ الْعُذْرِ كَنَوْمٍ وَإِكْرَاهٍ وَنِسْيَانٍ وَجَهْلٍ وَعَلَيْهَا الْقَضَاءُ. And then we're going to talk about the kafara. طيب, interesting here. So now he's talking about, so all these ahkam come from one hadith, or mainly one hadith. Are you guys aware of the hadith of the Arabi that went to the Prophet ﷺ? And he was fasting and it was in the time of Ramadan. I want you to understand the conditions here. This is jima' intercourse in Ramadan while fasting. Okay? Yani it's not the same outside of Ramadan, etc. So this is a person came to Prophet ﷺ and he says, you know, I did jima', okay? I was intimate with my wife in Ramadan, not at night. Not fil layl, right? But during the day while he was fasting in Ramadan. Tamam? So we came to the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ told him the kafara. He told him that you have to what? Anybody knows what the first one is? You have to what? Free a slave, right? And so the man said, you know, I can't afford it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, then fast 2 months. How many days is that? 60 days of fasting. After each other, okay? The man said, I can't do that. He had a condition or something. Then the Prophet ﷺ told him to, you have to feed, right? And then he said, I can't. And so, at the end, the Prophet ﷺ told him, you know, he brought someone to give him the food, okay? To give the tasadduq, to give sadaqah to other people. And he took money from other people for him to be able to pay the kafara. So he told the man, give this to the poorest in your town. So the man said, I don't know anyone poorer than me. So this man, he said, there's no one poorer than me. So the Prophet said, then you give it to your family. Subhanallah. So we will see that at the end, if someone can't do any of them, then khalas, then he doesn't have to pay the kafara. But let's talk about the ruling. So if someone has intercourse during the day in Ramadan while fasting, then this breaks the fast. Number one, it breaks the fast. And he or she will have to make up the day and pay kafara. Kafara compensation, yani. Kafara is a compensation. Na'am, tafaddal. Blood work. Yeah. Blood work. I don't know. It doesn't. I don't think so. No. Hijama is extracting. Is there qiyas on that one? Wallahi, that's a good question. Like, is there an analogy on that one? I'm having doubt now. Does drawing blood break your fast? Wallahu a'lam, no. I think there is a specific amount. Yani, dam, if it's gushing out of someone's body, it might possibly break their fast. But a small amount like that, Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam, I don't think so. Hijama is specific, right? Even that one, some of the ulama said, no, it's abrogated. Or, lakin, the blood work, as far as I know, no, I don't think so. But I will ta'akkad, inshallah, let you know, inshallah. But as far as I know, it doesn't. Bismillah. But if you did something else, like, مثلاً, like those scans where you have to inject stuff into your body, like a PET scan or something like that, then those would be those things would break your fast because you're injecting like sugar, like a PET scan, for example. They inject radioactive sugar, right, into your body, and so that would probably break your fast. Now, something like that. We talked about puffers; they don't break your fast. Sheikh Ali did the halaqa 2 weeks ago. It's on our YouTube channel, and he went over all these specific questions. But as long as you know the qa'idah, the rules here, you can kind of apply it on pretty much all of them. Bi'idhnillah ta'ala. طيب, so now, so we're talking about, okay, someone who, he does intercourse in Ramadan while fasting during the day, okay, then he has to make up the day, number one, and pay the kafara, okay, in all cases. What does it mean, all cases? In fiqh, when they say mutlaqan, yani without condition, yani meaning even if it was done out of forgetfulness, out of ignorance or mistake, okay? Yeah, and if someone did it out of forgetfulness or out of ignorance or by mistake, then it's not a reason for him to not pay the kafara and to make up the day. The exception, they say, illa someone who has something called shabak. In Arabic, they call it shabak, which is a disease, okay? Which is a disease, basically. Someone who's basically hypersexual, right? or they call it CSBD, compulsive sexual behavioral disorder. I believe that's what it is. Like someone who cannot hold himself. Tamam. So someone who maybe, يعني, medically he's been diagnosed with that, that person makes up the day but is not required to pay the compensation. Does that make sense? Because that's a condition that he can't control. Okay. طبعاً he would have to, get a doctor to kind of diagnose him with that. Okay. And there are cases like that. Wallahu a'lam. But yeah, if someone cannot hold it, then they would make up the day if they did it during the day, but they would not be required to pay the compensation. So that's al istithna. Na'am, tafaddal. The migraine? Migraine causes vomiting? Sure, we said istaqa'a. Whoever intentionally tries to vomit. Not vomit. فلو واحد تقيا يعني out of it's not from his يعني it's not intentional out of his control then لا تفطر. Yeah, and sometimes when you eat something acid comes out like a small amount, that's fine. Yeah, maybe spit it out. Yeah. This should be fine, inshallah. Right? But this is al طلب خروج القيء. نعم. Good question. طيب. So then he talks about the woman. Now, obviously, when there's jima'ah, there's two parties. Okay? So, now, the woman, he says here, okay, he says, فَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءِ وَلَا كَفَّارَتْ عَلَيْهَا مَعَ الْعُذْرِ كَنَوْمٍ وَإِكْرَاهٍ وَنِسْيَانٍ وَجَهْلٍ. For the woman, it's a bit different because the responsibility is really on the man. Yeah, and the responsibility here, الجماعي, usually it falls on the man, okay? So they say here that the woman, however, will not pay compensation in the following cases, okay? Because usually it's the, they're assuming that usually it's the man who starts it. But if it's the woman, the one who starts it, then yes, she will, and he's like, no, it could happen, they will know, the couple will know, okay? So the woman, however, will not pay compensation in the following cases, but still is required to make up the day because she still broke her fast. Remember, there's two things. Making up the day and the kafara, okay? So the woman who her husband approached her, right, and they were intimate, then she would still make up the day, but she wouldn't have to pay the kafara, okay? But if she had intercourse without any of the following cases, then she must pay compensation as well. Yani if the man had intercourse with her while she was sleeping, okay, then that's not, she doesn't have to pay compensation. But if she was awake and she was okay with it and she didn't stop, then she would also have to pay the compensation. Or she was forced, okay? But if she wasn't forced, she would also have to pay the compensation, okay? You can also say, well, what if the man was forced? Yeah. Now, back in the day, they would say, no, it's not possible. But I guess nowadays, it's possible. It's possible. Or she forgot she was fasting, or she was ignorant of the ruling, okay? So that's, what's the kafara? The kafara, the compensation. So the kafara, and they have to be in order. The compensation paid as follows. So he says here, he says, وَهِيَ عِتْقُ رَقَبَةٍ. Okay. عِتْقُ رَقَبٍ, يعني freeing a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُّ رَقَبَ. Yeah. يعني freeing a slave. الرَقَبَ is the neck, right? And this is kind of a kinaya for the slave. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ. Fasting 2 consecutive months. Is that easy? It's not easy. So for the men and the women, think twice, right? When you have to, by yourself. The family and the community is not with you. So you have to do it متتابعين, right? فصيام شهرين متتابعين. فإن لم يستطع, then if he's not able to, فإطعام 60 مسكينا, then feeding 60. So 60, a person for every one of those days. So let's say someone has diabetes, he can't fast the 60 days consecutively. He has to feed 60 poor people. Let's say, that's $10 a person, right? That's $600, right? تمام. 60 مسكينا. فإن لم يجد سقطت. إيش يعني سقطت؟ يعني خلاص. Yeah, he doesn't have to do it. And we get this from the hadith of the Arabi. We said, right? طبعا, the person would have to be in a really bad situation, okay, for him to hide. And the scholar is the one who would tell him, this guy can't. He's medically unable to fast. He doesn't. There's no slaves. He doesn't have any slaves. Okay. He can't fast. He doesn't have money. He's in debt, مثلاً. He doesn't have money to pay the kafara to fast, and doesn't have money to pay the kafara. Then it تسقط يعني. Even if he was able to get the money later on, خلاص سقطت. Then Allah سبحانه وتعالى will pardon him for that. تمام. But he still has to what? Make up the day. Now, Jameel. So that's that. Let's go to the next part, so we can finish. Inshallah, we're doing good. طيب, again, if you guys are feeling tired, يعني, we'll do some stretches. Now, Bismillah. There's some snacks too. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the kafara? No, it's one meal. Yeah, وهو يعني like it's the mud, yeah, from wheat, one mud of wheat, right, or two muds of anything. Al mud, yeah, al mud is like, you know, like a full. It's the equivalent of feeding one person, almost like zakat al fitr, yeah, pretty much like zakat al fitr. So zakat al fitr, you know, here I think it's 10, other places 15. Like in Gaza and other places, might be $5, $6, $7, right? So you just have to make sure that you are feeding 60 people, okay? Just like the person who has to feed, the one who can't fast for Ramadan, he will feed the 30 people, or the 29, depending on how many days Ramadan was, right? He will feed 29 or 30 people. Either every day once, right? Or he can do them all in the beginning, or all the end, it's all fine. So you're asking about the pregnant woman. What does she have to do? So we talked about the pregnant and the breastfeeding last week. And we said that the pregnant and the breastfeeding, okay, it depends. Is she not fasting because of herself or because of the child? Okay, so if it's for herself, then she just has to make up the day. If she's worried about the child, then she makes up the day, and the person responsible, the father, okay, the husband, the father, or whoever is responsible for the child, will feed a person for every day. Does that make sense? And she can make it up, you know, in those 11 months. Tamam? Now, we didn't talk about like the woman who مثلاً, consecutively cannot make it up. Because we're going to talk about, you have to make it up before the next Ramadan. And if you don't make it up before the next Ramadan, you have to pay a kafara for every day that you make up late. يعني now, if you have, مثلاً, let's say you have 8 days to make up, okay? Let's say you have 5 days to make up. We have about a week left before Ramadan. You have to make them up now. If you don't make them up now, then if Ramadan enters, you still have to make them up, and you have to pay five. You have to feed five people. There's like a kafara for every single day. Tamam? But what about the woman who, مثلاً, she's going from pregnancy to breastfeeding to pregnancy? So for her, yeah, it's okay to delay. Yeah, she has a udhur, okay? But she still has to make them up. This is the opinion of the madhab. There's other يعني, أقوال, there's خلاف here, and some of them try to kind of يعني, find an easier way for her, because it could end up being like, yeah, it could end up being a lot of days, يعني, 90 days or something like that. تخيل, it happens, يعني, some women, they consecutively like pregnancy, you know, breastfeeding, pregnancy, you know, and so she's not able to fast any of the days, but يعني, والله أعلم, it's safer for her to try to fast those days, بإذن الله تعالى. طيب, cool. Let's go to the things that are makruh. What's makruh, shabab? Boys in the back, what's makruh? We talked about this like multiple times. We have five ahkam. Yeah? Ahkam taklif. We have something that is obligatory, wajib, right? You have to do it. If you don't do it, you are sinful. طيب. Then let's go down a level. Okay? Something that is makruh. Sorry, something that is mustahab, okay? Something that is Mustahab, highly recommended. If you do it, you get rewarded. If you don't do it, no sin, no itham. طيب. Then we go to the middle, something that is mubah. Okay? يعني, if you do it, you get rewarded. If you don't do it, there's no sin, right? طيب. Then يعني, it's indifferent. Then we have what? Al-makruh. This is the disliked. Al-makruh. If you avoid it, you get rewarded. Okay? If you do it, you're not sinful. And then we have haram. Okay? If you do it, you're sinful. Tamam? Okay? So those are the five ahkam. So this is, we're talking about now the disliked. So these are things that if you do them, you're not sinful. Okay? But if you avoid them, then you're rewarded for them. So what are some of the disliked actions while fasting? He says, وَكُرِهَا أَنْ يَجْمَعَ رِيقَهُ فَيَبْتَلِعَهُ وَذَوْقُ طَعَامٍ وَمَضْغُ عِلْكٍ لَا يَتَحَلَّلْ. Okay, interesting. وَإِنْ وَجَدَ طَعْمَهُمَا, يعني both of them, okay, فِي حَلْقِهِ أَفْطَرْ. وَالْقُبْلَةُ وَنَحْوُهَا, okay, مِمَّنْ تُحَرِّكُ شَهْوَتَهُ. طيب, interesting. So now he's saying, what is makruh? Number one, to gather saliva in your mouth and then swallowing it together. Right now, if you're fasting and you swallow your saliva, does it break your fast? Yes or no? No. But he's saying if you intentionally keep gathering it and then swallowing it, then that's disliked. That's what he's saying here. If you're like, you know, like just and then swallowing it, okay? I don't know. Somebody might want to do that. Then this is disliked. Okay? Jameel, that's number one. To taste food, he says, if you feel the taste in your throat, then it breaks the fast because it means it has entered into your throat. Okay? So tasting food is disliked because it could end up breaking your fast. So if there's no need for it, yeah, don't be tasting food randomly. And don't go to a sweet shop and be like, oh, let me see how that tastes. There's no haja for that. But for a woman to cooking, مثلاً, she wants to make sure يعني, she doesn't kill her husband from salty food. Okay, she can taste it. Because there's a maslaha there. But you going to taste يعني, different drinks and different foods, and there's no haja for that. Okay, طيب, number three says, to chew flavorless gum. Anybody here has eaten like the original gum, like from the tree? Like the tree? You've tasted that? It's just like plain, it's just like chewing, yeah? Like the chewing gum that you eat, it comes from a tree. What's it called, the tree? There's a name for it. I forgot the name. But anyways, there's a name for it, and you can, it's like a root, yeah, and you eat it, and it has no taste. Okay, so he's saying here to chew flavorless gum that does not dissolve. If you get like bubble gum, XL, whatever, all those gums now, they have sugar and other things in them. So those ones would break your fast. But he's saying if you get something plain like that, okay, it would be makruh. Why? Because it's like you're eating something. Simulation. Huh? Simulation. Yeah, it's like kind of like you're so it's makruh to do that, okay? So if you feel the taste of such gum in your throat, then it breaks the fast. Yeah, because it means it has entered into your throat. If it dissolves or has flavor, then it is haram to chew it. Okay, obviously you can't be chewing gum like that. But the original one, if you the name comes and goes. Tafadhal, yeah.
Yeah, just because you mentioned like it's still related to saliva, so it can generate more saliva in your mouth. So doesn't that affect you?
Yeah, so maybe that's why the karaha is there. But like, the saliva is from your body. It's not coming, and it's not coming from the gum.
Yeah, but you enhance it, right?
Yeah, okay. يعني it's not, but it's not coming from outside. And you're not adding something in from outside. It's not coming from inside. طيب. So let's go to the fourth one: kissing or foreplay with the spouse that will cause sexual desires to be incited. Okay. So if kissing and foreplay will not incite sexual desires, then it's not disliked. So the couples know, yeah? So some couples, especially like if they're like in the beginning of their marriage, they're still young, that might be something that they should avoid, okay? So if it's something that's going to make them like more aroused, more excited, then they should avoid that. That would be something that is makruh. طيب, so those are the makruhat, the four things that are makruh. There's probably more things, but these are some of the main ones. Number four, next we have the muharramat, prohibited. These are things that are haram to do. Number one, foreplay, which he thinks will lead to ejaculation. He says, وَيَحْرُمُ إِنْ ظَنَّ إِنْزَالًا. يعني if he had a high expectation Al-dhan here, it means, al-dhan is not yaqeen, but it's not something in the middle, like shak. So shak is like doubt, 50%. But wal-yaqeen is 100%. Dhan here, they mean like husn al-dhan. Like, not husn al-dhan, afwan. Ghalabat al-dhan. Yani it's like, you're talking about like, you know, 70%, 80%, 90%. If he really thinks that this is going to cause him for the many to come out, then this would be haram for him. You know what I mean? It's different than the other one. The other one, he has no idea, but he does it. But here he knows for sure if he does it, then it's probably going to cause him for the many to come out, then it will be haram. Meaning if he thinks that kissing or fondling with his wife will definitely more than likely lead to ejaculation or madi, then it is prohibited for him to do that. Any foreplay, kissing and fondling. So the person has to be careful, especially in the daytime in Ramadan. Number two, chewing gum that dissolves. Yeah, we talked about that. And you can do qiyas, analogy, and all the other things. Okay? You know, anything that might dissolve into your mouth, that will chew and dissolve in your mouth, then that would be mufattir. Okay? But what about someone who chews his nails? Huh? Marikum. If he's chewing his nails and like he's swallowing, that's probably mufattir. Yeah? But he chews and then spits. Don't do that, first of all. Okay, don't do that. Huh? Yeah, it would be something that has karaha, okay? But if he is swallowing, then that's problematic. Then that's problematic. Tamam. Taban, if nasiyan, if he does it out of forgetfulness, yeah, some people are just nervous and they have a condition, you know, and they do that. Tafadhal. So, as-siwak, the Hanabila, they say there's karaha. So, this is one of the... One of the masail that fiha khilaf. Why? Because, طبعاً, we have the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the smell of the fasting person. تمام? So from that hadith, some of the ulama said that it's makruh to use the siwak in the early time of the not in the salah times, but like in the early time because of the hadith. Okay? And others said, no, that's not what it's meant. It's talking about just in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person that's fasting. Okay? يعني, the siwak, I would say in Ramadan time, you just use it for the times that is recommended. تمام? يعني for, but it's يعني similar to the toothbrush. يعني. It should be fine يعني, to use it during the day. I don't think there's a problem with it. يعني, I don't think it contradicts that hadith. I don't think it contradicts. And aslan, if someone brushes their teeth, it's out of cleanliness يعني, for their breath, so he doesn't hurt anybody else, especially someone who's going to work. He's dealing with other people. He needs to keep his mouth clean and smelling good. Tamam. So I don't see any contradiction in that. So I don't think there's a problem with that. When we said the toothbrush, qiyas on that, just make sure you're not swallowing the toothpaste or anything like that. Maybe avoid mouthwash because you might end up swallowing it. طيب, sins of the tongue. So now he says also things like namima. Okay? So now, وَكَذِبٌ وغيبة ونميمة وشتم ونحوه بتأكد. Are these things okay outside of Ramadan? الغيبة. So this is even more. يعني you're more sinful when you do these in Ramadan. Do they break the fast? No, they don't break the fast. Okay. So someone who's lying, backbiting, namima is spreading lies, right? Namima is spreading lies about people to hurt them. Okay. Cursing. Right, these things, they're not necessarily going to break your fast, but you are athim, you're sinful, but it's a larger sin in Ramadan. Yani, lying outside of Ramadan is haram, yeah? Major sin, ghiba, major sin, صح? من الكبائر. But kabair في Ramadan while fasting, that's like even more, it's heavier, subhanAllah. So a person has to be very careful. Yani, a person is not just fasting from his desires and food and drink, tamam? But is also from his tongue. And subhanAllah, we have to change the way we think about Ramadan. We need to think of it as a time for us to train ourselves not to do that. And it's such an excellent opportunity for you if you have a problem swearing, if you have a problem with a foul mouth, or you talk a lot, or you spread a lot of things, right? This is an excellent time because now you're in a situation where you are kind of forced to have taqwa, God consciousness. If I take advantage of that, this is the only time of the year where you have that condition. and the major shayateen are locked up, right? And so that's why I tell people in Ramadan, before Ramadan, list at least two or three things from your bad habits that you want to get rid of, you know. And you've seen, we've seen people who don't smoke for the whole month. Allahu Akbar. If you told him to do it outside Ramadan, he wouldn't be able to. But in Ramadan, he does it. And then he willingly goes back, some people. But subhanAllah, Ramadan is a proof that you can actually end that, right? Without nicotine or whatever, or Nicorette, whatever, all that, those things that people have and those patches. It's an excellent time to get rid of those bad habits, whatever they are, it's a good time to do that. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for the person to do that. What are some of the sunnah actions, okay, while fasting? So, breaking your fast is sunnah. Breaking your fast right away is sunnah. So delaying the fast, okay, would be against the sunnah. Somebody's like, I want to delay my fast. No, don't delay your fast. If you don't want to have the full meal, break your fast and then delay the meal. Right? That's fine. Tamam, but you should break your fast. Don't delay the fast. From the sunnah is to ta'jeel, fitrin, right? To break your fast right away. Okay? وَتَأْخِيرُ سُحُورٍ. The suhoor is opposite. Is it sunnah to have suhoor after Isha? Hi, Shabab. Is it sunnah to have suhoor after Isha? You know the meal before Fajr in Ramadan? Is it sunnah to have it right after Isha? No, right? It's not. The sunnah is to do it before Fajr. Ta'khir. Okay? So, Ayman's like, yeah. So, for breaking your fast, do it right away. Okay? For suhoor, delay it. Naam. Yeah, it is. MashaAllah. Right after Isha. That's what I meant. Tamam? Yeah. Ayman's trying to be smart. طيب جميل. So وتأخير سحور, okay. وقول ما ورد عند فطر, okay. What do we say when we break our fast? ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله, right? This is the most authentic part. Anything else? If you want to add, no problem. Okay. Allah, some people add, I'm fasting for your sake, and I put my trust in you, etc. And then you can make dua, right? So from the sunnah to break your fast as soon as possible after Maghrib comes in. And number two, to delay your suhoor. So even the muadhin should break his fast, then make adhan. Tamam? So if you hear you want to make an adhan, break your fast, then do the adhan. To delay your suhoor pre-dawn meal as late as possible. Close the time of Fajr as possible. طبعًا, if you have a reason to have your suhoor earlier, there's no problem. This is just something that is masnoon. مثلا, someone who has a night shift or something like that, or I don't know, someone has an operation to do, or a doctor or whatever, there's no problem. It's not haram, but it's just better. And obviously it makes more sense. The closer to Fajr, then the more energy you probably have, I'm guessing, depending on what you eat. Number three, to recite the recommended supplications, right? We said, ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق, and the thirst has gone, and then the عروق have been filled, okay? And inshallah the ajr is accepted. طيب. And then you make dua, right? And to make up the days you missed in Ramadan consecutively and immediately. This is up for debate. Do you have to do it consecutively and immediately? We'll talk about it, because we have the hadith here. They're saying if you miss some days, they said you should do it right away. طبعًا, the argument is that you don't know when you're going to pass away. So if you have dain, pay it right away, right? Qiyas on a dain. When you have debt, what's recommended? If you can pay it, you should delay it or pay it right away. Pay it right away. For they say this is deen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even higher than the deen of the bashar, right? And so they say, but now we have the hadith of Aisha. She said we would delay it until Sha'ban. طبعًا, some ulama said, well, that's because maybe she was because of the condition of the woman, the monthly period, or because they want to take the benefit of Sha'ban. Because we talked about Sha'ban. Sha'ban, the month that Prophet would fast the most, right? Because this is the month that the a'mal are raised. Tamam. Here they say they should do it right away. It is prohibited to delay it until the next Ramadan enters without an excuse. We said that. If you have something to make up, don't wait until the next Ramadan. Otherwise, if you do this without an excuse, then you must make up the day plus feed a poor person for each day missed. You have to pay the kafara. So if you had, we said 5 days from last year, you didn't make them up, and you You didn't make them up this next week. Ramadan comes in. Then you have to still make up those 5 days after Ramadan. And then you have to feed one person for those poor people. Tamam. So these are the sunnah actions while fasting. Break your fast as soon as possible. Delay suhoor. Recite the dua when you break your fast. Right? Of course, make dua as well. That's for yourself. That's from the times that is mustajab. And to make up the missed days as soon as possible. Na'am, fadl. Yani from the Sunnah of Rasulullah is to break it with dates, right? Break it with dates, ma fi mushkila, yeah. But anything else is accepted. Yeah. But even like from a there are people who talked about the health benefits of breaking with a date. Tamam. So you can read about those. But just don't do something silly, yani. Don't break it with a fried chicken or something like that, because it's just not good for your body. I don't know if you guys saw that experiment, or there was a guy who fasted for a long time. There was that guy, the magician. What's his name? David Blaine or something. I think he fasted for like 40 days in a row, and then he had to be very careful what to break his fast with. Because there have been cases where people break their fast with something not so healthy after a long fast, and then they can actually get like a heart attack or something. The way you break your fast and the food you break your fast with has a huge impact. Whatever is in the sunnah, trust it. And you can read some articles about the benefits of maybe breaking with a date and maybe some water. And you'll see that there's a lot of khair in that. طيب, if someone who was supposed to make up the missed days, okay, but did not and died before he could do so, then we must feed a poor person from his inheritance for each day that he missed, and we cannot fast on his behalf. Understand the mas'ala. Someone had missed days, 5 days, the same guy. He missed 5 days. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he's going to die. So now he owes Allah what? He owes Allah 5 days. Okay, do we make up the fast? No, we don't make up the fast. Okay, the Sharia did not ask the inheritors to make up the fast for him. But what is supposed to happen is we take from his tarika, not the one third that he might give as wasiyah, but from his actual inheritance, we take money from that and we feed a person for each day. So for that person, 5 days, khams masakin. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what we do. So this is in reference to the one who was neglectful and delayed the makeup days on purpose, though he could have done it so if he wanted. Even though delaying on purpose is not sinful, okay? As we mentioned, it's not sinful, but it's recommended to do it right away. If there was an excuse, then nothing should be paid. Kif ya'ni? Ya'ni someone didn't fast 5 days of Ramadan, okay, last year. And he got extremely sick, okay, and he couldn't fast them, okay, and then he died. So that person had an excuse. So for that person, you don't have to make it up, right? So he says, example, he becomes sick, or he was on travel, or she was breastfeeding. Yeah, a woman, مثلا, missed days. She was breastfeeding, then she died. But could she have made it up? No. Did she have to make it up? Yes, because she couldn't have paid. Because the person who's able to fast has to make them up. He cannot just pay. So, and then she died. Is she responsible? No. Then she is excused, okay? Now, we're going to talk about the vow. Someone does a nadhar. What's a nadhar? Is when you take a vow. You say, oh Allah, if you help me get into University of Calgary, I will fast 10 days. This is called a nadhar, okay? Yufuna bin nadhri, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of the characteristics of the believers. They fulfill their vows. Hada yusamma nadhar, okay? When nadhar, if you do it, it's different. We're going to differentiate between the fasting of nadhar and the fasting of wajib from the sharia. The fasting of wajib was obligated on him by who? By the sharia. But the fasting of nadhar was obligated on himself, not the sharia. So he's responsible for that one. So we're going to talk about a nadhar. When if a person passes away with a nadhar of fasting, he said, oh Allah, if you get me into University of Calgary, I will fast 5 days. Then Allah took away his life. Now someone has to fast those 5 days. Because this is something he obligated on himself. And the nadhar is something very serious. That's why some ulama said it's makruh to do a nadhar if you don't have to. Right? It's makruh to do another because you're putting a responsibility on yourself that the sharia didn't put on you. Right? Like someone says, if I lose 100 pounds, oh Allah, if you help me lose 100 pounds, I will do i'tikaf for 2 months. But why do you have to, why are you putting that on yourself? If you do that, you have to fulfill it. Right? And if you don't, there's a kafara for that. There's a kafara لا يؤخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. The same kafara of the yamin. Okay, you have to feed or free a slave, and we'll talk about it. طيب. جميل. So this is in reference for the one who is neglectful. Cool. طيب. Fasting on a person's behalf is only allowed when the person makes it obligatory himself through a vow, through a nadhr, but dies before fulfilling it and cannot be done for what Allah has obligated on him fasting in Ramadan. We talked about that. So there's a difference between them. So now he's going to talk about, okay, another. Okay, another. طيب. وإن كان على ميت نذر. So someone who passes away had a nadhr. Okay, من حج أو من صوم أو صلاة ونحوها سنة لوليه قضاؤه ومع ترك ومع تركة يجب التركة as the inheritance لا مباشرة ولي. طيب, let's talk about this. So fulfilling the vows of the deceased. If the deceased vowed nadhr, I'm going to do hajj. Oh Allah, if you help me get into med school, I'm going to do hajj. And then he died. Someone has to do that hajj for him. This is something that what he obligated on himself. Okay? So someone has to do hajj for him, or a fast, or a salah, right? Wherever it is from ibadah, the nadhr is something serious in Islam. So you have to fulfill it. Tafadhal. I was thinking the same. So, طبعاً, if nobody knows, nobody knows. Like, and usually that the one on his deathbed, he'll remember. So he'll say, listen, Ya Ibni, I made another, you know, to feed 10,000 people. Oh my God, Dad. You know, you're responsible. You have to, fulfill that vow for him. يعني. And if the person cannot, he will take from the tarika, from the inheritance, and he will do it from there. تمام. So that's why he says here, if the deceased vowed to worship like hajj, fasting, salah, but died before fulfilling it, it is recommended for one of his relatives to make it up on his behalf. If the deceased has an inheritance and a relative cannot or does not fulfill the vow, that's what we're talking about, then it is obligatory on the relative to use it to fulfill the vow. And we have to take from the inheritance, okay, that's left outside of the wasiyah, the one-third. Okay, so an example, the deceased vowed to fast 10 days. Okay, nadhara an yasuma 10 ayyamin, lakin mat, but died before fulfilling it. But no relative is willing to, no, all the brothers and the sisters are like, I'm not fasting for my dad. I'm not fasting, man. I don't have time for that. Okay, so then what do they have to do? Then they'll be like, okay, guys, nobody wants to fast. Okay, hopefully yani, one of them is willing. But if they don't want to fast, or they all have diabetes or something, okay, then they have to take from the inheritance. Okay. Therefore, the family will pay from the deceased inheritance a poor person for each day vowed. So 10 poor people. واضح? واضح, everybody? So that's what you do for the nadhr. طيب. We're almost done. طيب. وإن كان على we did that. Cool. طيب. Now صوم التطوع. Now voluntary fasting. Let's get into voluntary fasting. We're doing good, mashallah. يسن صوم أيام البيض. Let me ask you guys, what are some of the recommended fastings? Fasting that we do throughout the year? Shawwal, the 6th of Shawwal, what else? Someone said Monday, Thursday, what else? Ayyam al-Bid, right? The middle days of the month. The day of Arafah, the day of Ashura, which is in Muharram, right? The 10th or the 9th, 10th or the 9th, 10th, 11th, right? Tamam. Anything else? I think you guys covered pretty much all of them. طيب, let's talk about it. يسن صوم أيام البيض. Okay. أيام البيض. We talked about أيام البيض. And then he says, والخميس والإثنين. والخميس والإثنين, we said, maybe was mentioned the khutbah. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, because the angels come and they raise the deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have another hadith. Like, تفتح أبواب الجنة. Right? And everybody's forgiven on Monday or on Thursday. We have that hadith as well. And also, his birthday was on a Monday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another hadith that mentioned that his birthday was on Monday. So that's why he likes to fast on Mondays, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَسِتٍ مِنْ شَوَّال, 6 of Shawwal. Shawwal is the month after Ramadan, right? As soon as someone finishes Ramadan, right, Eid is done. طبعا, not the first day, because the first day would be Eid. But to fast 6 days of Shawwal, that's from the Sunnah, okay? وَشَهْرِ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ Muharram is the first month of the year. And we have the month of Muharram in general. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would fast a lot of that. Okay. وآكده العاشر ثم التاسع. And more specifically, okay, is the 9th and 10th because of Ashura, right? Ashura means the 10th. It comes from the word Ashara, right? Ashura, 10th, okay? Because of that's the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa, etc. Tamam, from the drowning. And that's the day that the ship of Nuh landed of on the Mount of Jud, yeah? واستوت على الجودي. Judy, right? And so on. Yeah. So it's a significant day. The Prophet ﷺ said to fast it. وَتِسْعِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ, the 9 of the Hijjah. We have the 10 days of the Hijjah. Why is he saying 9 of the Hijjah? What about the 10th? Yeah, أحسنت. Right? The 10th of the 10 days of the Hijjah are virtuous days. Those are the first 10 days of the last month. The first 10 days of the last month, the Hijjah. That's when Hajj happens. And these are the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But the 10th day is Eid, obviously, right? So you don't fast on that day, tamam? But specifically, so the 9 days of the Hijjah, but وَآكَدُهُ, and more specifically, يَوْمَ عَرَفَ لِغَيْرِ حَاجٍ بِهَا. Not for the Hajj, the one who's doing Hajj, he doesn't fast, right, on Arafah. But the ones who are not doing Hajj, then they fast on Arafah. So let's go through them. Recommended fasting, we said to fast 3 days of every lunar month. So Ayyam al-Bid, we have a hadith about Ayyam al-Bid. Why do they call them Ayyam al-Bid, the white days? Ah, Shabab, why do they call them Ayyam al-Bid? Why? Yeah, because if you know the life of the moon, right? In the middle 3 days of the month, it's a full moon. Like literally on the middle day, probably the 14th, it's a full moon, it's a Badr. And that's when the sky is like lighting up the whole night. So that's why they call it Ayyam al-Bid. One of our teachers, he referenced a research paper about this. I think somebody in the university did it. I never actually looked it up, so don't quote me on this. But he was saying that something interesting happens on these days. For those of you who watch too many movies, it's not werewolf. People don't become werewolves or something like that. Tamam. But we have those people. But those have some significance. You know, like, you know, when they say people, they see the full moon, they become werewolves and stuff like that. What did you say, Afwan? More excitation. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. There's some talk about it does something to the body. Yani people are. Apparently more crime happens on those days. You can look it up, Yani. I don't know, Yani. You can look it up. More crime happens on that day, like more murders, more whatever, theft and robbery and all those things. I don't know. The moon does something to the body. To the brain? Khalas. طبعاً, the moon does something to the waves and to the... The moon, subhanAllah, Yani, هذا خلق الله. Look, I learned a lesson. Whatever's in the sunnah, just trust it, and there's a hikmah and a benefit behind it. You'll find out later, yani through whatever, yani siwak, just trust it. It's more beneficial than a toothbrush. And you'll find out later why. Oh, it has this and this, and there's a chemical, مش عارف إيش. Tamam. Whatever comes in the sunnah, just trust it. Because this is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just like flipping a coin, be like, let's do this. You know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وما ينطق على الهوى. It's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever comes in the sunnah, do this, sleep at this time, right? Cover your food. All those things, just trust it. There's a huge benefit for it. Sometimes we don't know the hikmah, and sometimes we find out later. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, don't eat pork, just don't eat it, okay? And you'll see that there's a benefit for it. Tamam? We don't always see the hikmah, but part of iman is to have yaqeen that there's a benefit for you there. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't tell us to do things hek out of nothing. Tamam? Even the things that we, يعني, Allah tells you pray for in dhuhr, خلص, يعني, just trust the system. طبعا, that's wajib. We're not talking about the sunnah here. طيب, next, we have Mondays and Thursdays. We talked about it. 6 days of Shawwal. They do not have to be consecutive. Okay. طبعا, here's the thing. Some people always ask, can I fast Shawwal with the days I missed? And this is a big khilaf between the ulama. Someone missed 3 days in Ramadan. Shawwal is coming. So, can I like join the intentions? The problem, the Hanabil and others say, You cannot join something that is wajib, because making up the fast is what? Obligatory. And fasting Shawwal is? Yeah, it's a sunnah, something nafil, right? So, mustahab. So you cannot join them together. Okay, what's the solution? Just fast those 3 days, and Shawwal is 29 days, يعني ما في مشكلة. Okay? But someone might say, well, I was pregnant and 30 days, and I couldn't fast the whole 30 days. خلاص. If you had the intention to fast them, inshallah Allah will reward you. Wallahu a'lam, يعني. I think it makes more sense that the person, and well, someone might say, well, let me fast the 6 days of Shawwal, and then I'll make up the obligatory fast. I mean, you could do that, but which one is more obligatory for you to do? Is the ones you missed. So if you're going to fast, it makes more sense to fast those first. Okay? And leave the days of Shawwal. Tamam? طبعاً, some ulama said, why 6 days? Why 6 days? They tried to find hikmah. Why 6 days? So they said, well, if you're fasting 30 days of Ramadan, okay, they said, لِكُلِّ حَسَنَةً عَشَرَةً. So that's what? 300. The year is how many days? Maximum 360. So they said 6 Shawwal times 10, 60, 360, Allahu Akbar. Because the hadith says, كَأَنَّمَا سَامَ الدَّهَرَ الدَّهَرَ الدَّهَر means what? Any time, all time. But if you do that every year, as if you fasted, every year of your life. SubhanAllah, Allah alam, there's some ulama derived that, tamam, as if you fasted the whole year. Allah alam. طيب. The month of Muharram, right? The month of Muharram, pretty much most of it, okay? But the 10th day of Ashura, yeah, the 10th day, because we said of the significance of it. طبعاً, the Prophet ﷺ said, because the Yahud fasted that as well, to differentiate between them. So you have three choices. Either do the 9th and 10th, okay? Okay, so best is to combine the 3 days, 9, 10, 11. This is the opinion of the Hanabila. Fast 9, 10, 11. This is the best choice. If not, do 9 and 10. If not, do the 10th and 11th. If not, just do the 10th. طبعاً, the Prophet ﷺ said we shouldn't do the same as the Yahud, because they were fasting the 10th. So that's why that's the last choice. So choice number one is do 9, 10, 11. Choice number two, 9 and 10. And choice number three is 10, 11. And the last choice is just do the 10th. طبعاً, this is voluntary fast. But we know that whoever fasted that 1 year before is forgiven for him. Sahih. طبعاً, and number five, we have the first 9 of Dhul Hijjah, right? And we know the hadith of that. These are the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some said, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ in Fajr is talking about that. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, right? Those 10 days, okay? So this is the highest recommended day to fast in this month is the day of Arafah, right? The great day of Arafah. And this would erase 1 year before and one year after coming up of sins, of minor sins, of course, okay? And for those who are in Hajj, it is not recommended them for them to fast, right? They are in Arafah. They are going through a lot of hard work, so they shouldn't fast that. Best type of fasting is to fast every other day. So then he says, the best day to fast is the fast of Dawood alayhi salam, which would be every other day, right? And we have the hadith of the Sahabi who wanted to fast every day. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you really want to fast a lot, then fast the fast of Dawood, which is every other day, which is every other day. طيب, disliked fasting. Okay. Jameel. So from the makruh fasting, وَأَفْضُلُ الصِّيَامِ صَوْمُ يَوْمِ وَفِطْرِ يَوْمِ, that's the one of Dawood. وَكُرِهَا إِفْرَادُ رَجَب, they said it's makruh, there's a hadith about it, to fast the whole month of Rajab, the month that just passed by. There's karaha to fast the whole month. Okay, so if you want to fast a lot of it, just break your fast in 1 day or two, or do the fast of Dawood alayhi salam, which would be 1 day on, 1 day off. Okay, so that's the first that is disliked, okay? وَالْجُمُعَةِ, this is إِفْرَادُ الْجُمْعَةِ, يعني just saying I'm going to fast Fridays only. This is something that is makruh, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, and Saturday as well, to just fast Saturday. So if someone says, well, is it haram is it makruh to fast Fridays? No, if that's your adah, مثلاً you do every second day, or you do every third day, this is your adah, then there's no problem. Or if you have a fard day to make up, and this is the last day that you can make it up, ما في مشكلة, okay? But to just just make it by itself like that, that is something that is disliked, okay? And fasting on the day of doubt. Remember Yom al-Shak? We talked about Yom al-Shak. Yom al-Shak is the day that might possibly be the day before Ramadan. So, which probably, Yom al-Shak this year is going to be on Thursday, I think. So Yom al-Shak, the day of doubt, is the day that we're not sure about. Do we fast and we have to go check the moon, right? So they say you don't fast that because it's right before Ramadan, or it's possibly right before Ramadan. Does that make sense? According to the moon, we'll know, is this the day before Ramadan or do we wait another day? So that's why it's called Yom al-Shak. Okay? That day, it's disliked to fast it. It's disliked to fast that day, yeah, right? And then he says, we'll skip it. And then what's also disliked on Eid days of the disbelievers. So he says here, وَالشَّكْ وَكُلِّ عِيدٍ لِلْكُفَّارِ, to fast on the days of the kuffar, like what? Like fasting on Ramadan, on I don't know, Halloween or something, or fasting on Christmas, right? Because this is ta'zim al-yawm, right? It's like you're celebrating that day, right? So you shouldn't do that. Okay, you shouldn't do that for the Eid of the disbelievers, okay? yeah, like fasting on Christmas or Eid. And then fasting a day or two before Ramadan, unless these days are coincidental with your usual fasting. This is your habitual fasting. Tamam, you fast on these 3 days, then that's not a problem. Let's finish with the prohibited fasting and then al-i'tikaf. So what is prohibited fasting? He says, وَحَرُمَ صَوْمُ الْعِيدَيْنِ. It's absolutely haram to fast the two Eids. صَوْمُ الْعِيدَيْنِ مُطْلَقًا. Okay, without any excuse. Okay, وَأَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ. أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ are the days after Al-Eid. So they are the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. The fourth, so the Ayyam al-Tashriq are the days after Eid, which is the day of Eid is what? The 10th. So the 3 days after that, those are Ayyam al-Tashriq, okay? Wa Ayyam al-Tashriq illa an dami mut'atin wa qiran. Except the one who has to fast those days, because we have the ayah about the person who has to fast 3 days في الحج وسبعة إذا رجعتم. This is the ayah of Hajj in Al-Baqarah. Okay, whoever is not able to pay or to do the fidya, okay, then he has to fast 3 days في الحج. And so for that person, it's okay because he has to fast those 3 days في الحج. So he is allowed to fast those days of Yom Tashriq, and then he has to fast 7 days when he goes back. Except the one who's local in Mecca, or the one who's doing ifrad. That's why he says, for the one who's doing Qiran or Mut'a, because we said Hajj is three. We're going to talk about Hajj later. But the types of Hajj are three. We have Mut'a, right? Tamattu', and we have Qiran, and we have Ifrad. The Munfarid doesn't have to do a Nahr, right? He doesn't have to slaughter. And people of the locals of Mecca don't have to. But the one who does Qiran and Tamattu' has to slaughter. But if he's not able, Mahsoor or whatever, he's stuck, then he has to fast 3 days. Okay, ثلاث في الحج وسبعة لما يرجع. Okay, and seven when he gets back. طيب, he's going to talk about now. Okay, الفرض الموسع. موسع means what? It's kind of flexible, right? واسع, موسع. The فرض is, so here's a question, because this goes to أصول الفقه. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says do something, is there flexibility or you have to do it على الفور, right away, right? The Hanabila always go with al-fawr, you do it right away, unless there's a dalil that says it's flexible. So what's an example of fard muwassa'? Like salah, Allah says, pray adhan al-maghrib. طيب, do I have to pray exactly at the adhan? No, you have some flexibility, unless there's a hadith that says it's muharram at a specific time. Okay, so that's something that's muwassa'. So he says here, okay, وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي فَرْضٍ مُوَسَّعٍ حَرُمَ قَطْعُهُ بِلَا عُذْرٍ. Okay, fard muwassa', they're talking about making up your fast. So making up a fast for Ramadan, it's kind of muwassa, right? You have about flexibility. You have flexibility in the 11 months, okay? So they're saying, if you, let's say you miss 5 days, and you want to make them up in the next week, okay? And so you wake up, or tonight you're like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to fast. You made the niyyah for a fard fast. Pay attention with me here. Because a person might make a niyyah for a voluntary fast, but someone who owes a fast has to make what? A niyyah for a fard fast. The fard fast, you cannot break it. So that's why he's saying here. He says, وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي فَرْضٍ مُوَسَّعٍ حَرُمَ قَطْعُهُ بِلَا عُذُرٍ. So if you make an intention to make up a fast that is obligatory, you cannot in the middle of it, you know what, I'm invited to a dinner, let me just break my fast. It's haram unless you have an excuse. An excuse, whatever it is, a medical excuse or whatever, tamam, it's haram. Contrary to a voluntary fast, if you make up a voluntary fast and then you want to break it, that's fine. It's disliked, but it's fine for you to break it. Okay, does that make sense, the difference between the two? Okay, بلا عذر أو نفل غير حج وعمرة كرها بلا عذر. So we're saying here, Okay, so we talked about the muwassa'. If you start a fard muwassa', it is prohibited to cut it off in the middle except with an excuse. Example, if you are making up a Ramadan fast outside of Ramadan, so like tomorrow, you cannot cut it off in the middle of the day without an excuse. This is contrary to the ruling of voluntary worship. If it is a voluntary worship, then it is disliked to cut it off, right, in the middle of the day without an excuse, okay, except a voluntary Hajj or Umrah. This is important. Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, we cannot break them. This is an exception for the rule. Why? Because of the ayah. What's the ayah? وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ Al-Itmam is to complete. So if you make a voluntary Umrah, you've done your wajib, and you do a voluntary Umrah, right, you still have to finish it. And that's why we talked about coming out of Ihram, it's a serious thing, last year. Inshallah, we'll go over it again. So those ones you have to finish. Because they're voluntary actions, but you have to finish them. Let's finish with i'tikaf. We have about 10 minutes. Good, we can do it, inshallah. Al-i'tikaf, what's i'tikaf, shabab? What's i'tikaf, guys? Huh? Yeah, staying in the masjid, right? So al-i'tikaf, lughatan, luzumu shay' wal-iqbal ilayhi, right? Sticking to something. Wa shar'an in sharia, luzumu masjidin lita'ati Allahi ta'ala ala sifatin makhsusa. Right, so luzumu masjidin, to be in a masjid, to do worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually people do it, they do it in the last 10 days. The Prophet ﷺ, from his sunnah, he would do it in the last 10 days, right? You can do it, you don't have to do 10 days, right? But it requires a niyyah. Let's talk about it. So he says here, وَالْإِعْتِكَافُ سُنَّةُ. So this is the hukum of i'tikaf. If someone asks you, what's the hukum of i'tikaf? What's the ruling? It is what? It is sunnah. Okay? It is sunnah. But who's it sunnah for? Who's allowed to do it? Let's talk about it. He says, وَلَا يَصِحُّ مِمَّنْ تَلْزَمُهُ الْجَمَاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي مَسْجِدٍ تُقَامُ فِيهِ. Okay? So now he's talking about, okay, so the definition to stay in the mosque for the purpose of obeying Allah, regardless of the gender, it must be done in a mosque for it to be valid. So you can't do i'tikaf in a restaurant. Okay? It has to be done in a masjid. طيب, it is a recommended form of worship unless someone obligates it on himself by taking a vow. Remember, so if you take a nadhr, we said nadhr is wajib. So if someone says nadhr, I'm going to do i'tikaf 300 days in Masjid al-Haram. Okay, khalas, I mean, but I was angry. No, you have to. You have to go to Masjid al-Haram and do i'tikaf, okay, for 300 days. Tamam? Good luck. Tamam? So, you know, control your anger. طيب, so a person on whom the congregation prayer is obligatory can only do so in a mosque that regularly performs the five-day prayer. He's talking now because the Hanabali, they said that it's wajib for the male Muslim, aqil, baligh, right, to pray in jama'ah, right? So they're saying for that person, he has to do it in a masjid that has five of obligatory prayers. Why? So he can pray the prayers because it's disliked to leave the masjid. Unless for a darura, right? So if the masjid does not have five daily prayers, then you shouldn't do i'tikaf there. And also, if it doesn't have Jum'ah, you shouldn't do i'tikaf there. Right? Because you're going to have to leave. And it's something that is disliked to do in a normal i'tikaf, unless it's for a reasonable thing. We'll talk about the reasons. But for another, you're not allowed to leave. Okay? So he says here, okay, na'am, in ata alayhi salatun. So he says here, illa fi masjidin tuqamu fih, in ata alayhi salatun, وشرط له طهارة ممن يجب غسلا. So now he's talking about, so a person who on whom the congregational prayer is obligatory can only do so in a mosque that regularly performs the five daily prayers in congregation. So for a woman, let's use our fiqh here. For a woman, can she do a masjid can she do i'tikaf in a masjid that doesn't have the five daily prayers? Yes, she can, because there's no, as long as there's the conditions, there's a place for her, etc. There's other women. Can she do it in a masjid that doesn't have Jum'ah? Yeah, because it's not obligatory for her to pray Jum'ah and to do the five. Does that make sense? Do you understand the mas'ala here? So in that line, they included like a bunch of ahkam. They're saying that the male who has to pray Jama'ah and has to pray Jum'ah, he can only do i'tikaf in a masjid that has that. But the woman who doesn't have to, or the sabi, the walad, okay, right? They can do i'tikaf in a masjid that doesn't have Jum'ah. Does that make sense? That's what they're talking about here. So so cannot be a deserted mosque because this would require him to constantly leave such a mosque to perform the five daily prayers in congregation, which goes against the purpose of i'tikaf, which is to remain in the mosque. The whole purpose of i'tikaf, seclusion for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not required that the mosque perform Friday prayer as well, because that is viewed as something that is necessary. So here they say, okay, well, if it's just Jum'ah they didn't perform, then it's a good excuse for you to leave it, pray Jum'ah, and then come back. Tamam? Okay, no problem. Okay. Exception, if you want to do i'tikaf at a time when there is no prayer. The i'tikaf, it doesn't have to be 10 days. As long as you make a niyyah, let's, مثلاً, I want to do i'tikaf one day, or I want to do i'tikaf for 7 hours. It's going to be, مثلاً, from Isha until Fajr. Does he have to leave the masjid? No. Okay, so that's fine. That's what he's saying, the exception. If you make intention to do i'tikaf in a time when there's no salah, so that's okay to do it in a masjid that doesn't have, مثلاً, congregational prayer, etc. Okay, so, يعني, there's some flexibility. It is a condition for i'tikaf to be valid that the person must be pure from any major ritual impurity. Yeah. So if you want to do i'tikaf, you have to be out of janaba, the major impurity. So if someone is in the state of janaba, they can't just go do i'tikaf. They have to shower, do ghusl, and then go to start the i'tikaf. So if a person requires a bath, then he must shower before beginning i'tikaf. Just give me a second to finish this one. Okay. نعم. وإن نذره أو الصلاة في مسجد غير الثلاثة. This is a mas'ala of the three masjids. If you make nadhr, okay, nadhr, a vow that you're going to do i'tikaf, okay, in مثلاً Masjid Fairview, I made a vow or a nadhr, I'm going to do i'tikaf in Masjid Fairview, then it's okay for you to do i'tikaf in another masjid for that vow because they're all the same level. But if you make nadhr, a vow, I will do i'tikaf in Masjid al-Haram, then you have to do it in the Masjid al-Haram or something higher. Is there something higher? No. طيب, if you made nadhr, I'm going to do i'tikaf 10 nights in Masjid Nabawi, then you have to do it in Masjid Nabawi or something higher. What's something higher? Masjid al-Haram. طيب, if you say, I'm going to do, you do nadhr, I vow that I'm going to fast 10 days in Masjid al-Aqsa, then you have to fast, to do i'tikaf 10 nights in Masjid al-Aqsa or something higher, which is Masjid Nabawi or Masjid al-Haram. Does that make sense, that mas'ala? That's what they're talking about here. Okay? So he says here, وَإِن نَذَرَ أَوْ وَإِن نَذَرَهُ أَوْ الصَّلَى فِي مَسْجِدٍ غَيْرِ الثَّلَاثَةِ, the three, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, and Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay? فَلَهُ فِعْلُهُ فِي غَيْرِهِ. If he does it, if he vows in Fairview, he can do it in Akram Jum'ah, or he can do it in the Northeast. وَفِي أَحَدِهَا, okay, in those three, فَلَهُ فِعْلُهُ فِيهِ وَفِي الْأَفْضَلِ. Then he has to do it in it, or something afdal. And so if you vow for the Masjid al-Haram, there's nothing afdal, so you have to do it there. Okay? وَأَفْضَلُهَا الْمَسْجِدُ الْحَرَامِ ثُمَّ الْمَسْجِدُ النَّبَوِي فَالْأَقْصَى. So the levels are Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, and Al-Aqsa. We get that from the hadith. The most reward is the Masjid al-Haram, then al-Nabawi, wal-Aqsa. We're almost done. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ اِعْتِكَافٍ مَنْذُورًا مُتَتَابِعًا إِلَّا لِمَا لَابُدَّ مِنْهُ. He's saying the one who does nadhr cannot leave unless for something that is a need. Okay? وَلَا يَعُودُ مَرِيضًا. So visiting a sick is not a need. Okay? وَلَا يَشْهَدُ جَنَازَةً. Going to say a janazah is not a need for the one who vowed to do i'tikaf. إِلَّا بِشَرْط. Except with a shart. يعني meaning, oh Allah, I vow to do i'tikaf in Fairview Masjid, with the exception that if my brother is sick, I'm going to go visit him. So if he put that condition in his vow, then he's allowed. If he put a condition in his vow, but he's only allowed for things that are virtuous. He cannot say, oh Allah, I make nadhr to do i'tikaf in Fairview, but if I want to go play PlayStation, I'm going to go. No, that's not included. It has to be something that has that is righteous, or it's ibadah, or something that is recommended. And then he says here, na'am. وَلَا يَشْهَدُ جَنَازَةً إِلَّا بِشَرْطٍ وَوَطْءُ الْفَرْجِ يُفْسِدُهُ, right? And doing jima', right? Intercourse breaks the i'tikaf. وَكَذَا إِنْزَالٌ بِمُبَاشَرَةٍ, or someone who ejaculates with foreplay, مُبَاشَرَةً, right? وَيَلْزِمُ, and this is وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. This is from the ayah Surah Al-Baqar. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. وَيَلْزَمُ لِإِفْسَادِهِ كَفَّارَةُ يَمِينٍ. So now he's saying that if you break your vow of i'tikaf, okay, or any vow, then you have to do kafarat yameen. Now some of them here, when they explain it, they say, if مثلاً you say that I'm going to do i'tikaf in Ramadan, I vow to do 10 days i'tikaf in Ramadan. طيب, you broke it in Ramadan past, you still have to make up that vow, that fast, the i'tikaf, but now to make it up, it's going to be outside Ramadan. So you have to pay kafara for that. You have to pay a kafara for that. وَسُنَّةُ اشْتِغَالٌ بِالْقُرْبِ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. So if you want to do i'tikaf, then you should busy yourself with ibadah. So you shouldn't be sitting there, you know, on Amazon.ca or, you know, on flipping through high. If you're going to do i'tikaf, right, make sure that you put away distractions, make a plan. I'm going to read Quran, I'm going to do a khatma, I'm going to pray duha, I'm going to do this, I'm going to memorize a hadith, I'm going to do dhikr. So don't waste your time with these things. Otherwise, you'd be at home. You're wasting your time. This is a precious time to do that. So if you make the intention to do i'tikaf, inshallah, if we do have i'tikaf in this masjid, we'll announce it. Otherwise, we do have i'tikaf in the northeast, I believe, inshallah. We will announce it later in Ramadan. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We finished, Allahu Akbar, we were able to finish Kitab al-Siyam. It's Isha time now, but if there's a question, one question, we can take it. Tafadhal. There's nothing stopping you from that, tamam. If someone makes niyya for do i'tikaf, then it should be fine, inshallah. Some of them, they say, well, that's not really i'tikaf. But there's nothing that stops you from doing that. I think it's muwassa', but al-afdal is to do like, the longer the better. And the sunnah of Allah is to do those 10 days. But if someone, مثلاً, he works, and there's a weekend coming up, and he says, you know, I'm going to intend to make 3 days, good. If someone can only do the night, good. Better than nothing. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. But you summa i'tikaf. If the niyyah of the i'tikaf is there, and you're going to stay there for that time, you summa i'tikaf. Wallahu a'lam. Naam, tafadhal. طيب okay let's just take it. نعم. What's the what? الاعتكاف specific reward? I'm not sure if it's mentioned. لكن you can imagine that it's the person is reading Quran. In general, it's you're doing all those ibadat in Ramadan في المسجد. فأكيد there's a great reward. Specific? I don't think there's a specific reward for that معتكف. الله أعلم. الله أعلم. نعم. What's your question? And we're gonna do the iqama inshallah.
If I make niyyah, so like do i'tikaf for the duration of this halaqah,
بإذن الله. أبشر. Inshallah, smart kid. والله تعالى جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We'll do the test for this after Ramadan inshallah. Okay. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم. Someone will do the adhan inshallah.